Right now on the Catlin Capital Hotline, we are joined by the Blazers insider for this program and for The Athletic. It is Jason Quick. Jason, thank you for joining us.
How you doing, Luke?
I am fantastic. It's always so wonderful to talk to you.
I don't think he likes you.
I know he doesn't like me.
Why would he?
Wait, I don't like him, or he doesn't like me?
No, I think Quick doesn't like you.
That's okay. I don't like
him. He told me that.
I don't know Luke yet.
Oh,
that's fine. Are you on the road next Thursday? I'm back in next week. You can come in. We'll get some drinks, and we'll all hang out and get drunk and say what we really think about the Blazers.
We might be able to do that. I don't think I am in town, and the Blazers don't have a game.
All right. Well, there you go. Next Thursday, we'll do the whole thing live. And it's Rob's last show before he goes on Christmas break.
Yeah, I'm going dry dock.
He's already going to be three sheets to the wind by 5:30.
So, Quicker, come on, man. What is going on here? This fill in the blank question. That'll be the first question. This is as bad as the Blazers have looked to you since blank.
Probably two seasons ago, right around this time, back when Alan Crabb was coming off the big. That first, you know, Evan Turner's first year, Alan Crabb got the big contract, wasn't doing anything. Maurice Harkless hadn't become good enough to become a starter during that time when they were really scuffling about and under 500. This is probably as bad as that time.
So that was pre-Nurkic trade, and then they trade for Nurk, and they catch fire, and they get in the playoffs. Does this feel different to you? Does this rut they're in right now feel like it's something more major? How do you view the slump?
It's major in that it's the same thing for now the third straight year. You know, it's been a little bit different in that last year was the offense that was killing them, and the defense was fine. This year, again, it's like 2 years ago. The defense is the problem. The offense is okay. But the frustrating thing about this, and I think internally for the team, is they know that they can play better. They have had spurts where they can reel off 13 wins, 11 wins in a row. But each year they have these maddening months where they just don't look like a very good basketball team. And I think that's why you don't hear them kind of overreact or panic, because they know they have it within themselves to play better. But I think that's what infuriates the fan base so much, is they've also seen this team play better and it's not happening. But I think the big picture thing, if you step away, is how much longer do you allow this to keep happening? I mean, you know, I wrote a piece today and I kind of alluded to what Toronto did. I think Toronto was in the same boat as the Blazers were, a very good regular season team, make the playoffs every year, but then they get booted. And eventually their GM said, this is insane. We can't keep doing the same thing. So he took a leap of faith and he made some big moves, fired the coach and made a blockbuster move in getting Kawhi Leonard and trading an intensely popular guy in DeMar DeRozan from their team. And look at them now. They have the best record in the league. They've beaten the Warriors twice. And I think the Blazers are right there in that no man's land where, yeah, they're good, but really what's the upside to this team? I don't think it's very high.
We're talking with Jason Quick on the Catlin Capital Hotline. Quick, when you look at the history of these big moves, you talk about Kawhi Leonard, and I think we know that Paul George was on the Blazers' radar. Have they been trying to make moves and have been unable to do it, or are they unable to offer up enough to make anything happen?
I would imagine it's both. I think Neil wants to improve this roster, but I think he's handcuffed because, one, there's not a lot of attractive assets on this roster, and a lot of what makes the assets unattractive is their contracts that he signed them to. And so I think to get a player of quality, you're going to have to match salaries, and pretty high salaries. And to do that, you know, a team is going to be giving up an all-star, and what are they going to get back in return? You know, Myers Leonard and Maurice Harkless and Evan Turner, that I don't think that's going to get a big blockbuster deal done. So, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum, that the way that this team was going to take the next step was that internally some major improvement had to happen. CJ McCollum had to become an all-star. That's not going to happen this year. It looks like he's still a good player, but not a great player. You know, Nurkic is going to have to take that next step. He's been a little bit better, but not markedly. Zach Collins is going to have to be an impact player. It looked like in the first 2 weeks, it looked like he was going to do that. And I think that's why they jumped out to a 10-3 start. Now he's a shell of himself. He's very frustrated, not getting it done. Doesn't look like a difference maker. I still believe in Zach. I think he's going to be a good player, but it's not happening as quickly as I think people wanted it to. So the things internally that needed to happen for this team to take the next step are not happening. And I think that's why we're seeing the same things, because it's the same players at the same level.
Jason Quick's appearances here, by the way, brought to you by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee, changerealtynow.com. So I think that one of the things that happens is they overvalue their own guys. And I'm looking right at CJ McCollum. Now, he's an interesting case study because he had 40 last night, and he was the one that kept him in that game. But then, you know, poof, it's over, and they lose by 9. Do you – because I flat out say it, I just think CJ McCollum is just an overrated player. I think he's a really good scorer. I think he's Monte Ellis, but he does not help the team win in ways that a bigger-time player like Damian Lillard has shown to be able to do. It's kind of hard to put your finger on what those things are, but he doesn't have those. Are you in that camp, and do you think that the Blazers would ever at any point punt on this idea that you have to keep Lillard and McCollum together and maybe trade CJ McCollum?
I am quickly trending in that camp that he is not showing improvement to become an elite player. He is not a $24 million player, which is what he's being paid. So will they entertain trading him? I don't know. As I've told you guys, Neil Olshey loves this guy and really believes in him. And he really likes that backcourt. But I think eventually you got to make tough decisions. And I think more and more it's looking that that is the avenue for this team to improve. And it's not like that's a revolutionary idea. I think everyone who's a Blazer fan has at least thought about that at some point during their fandom. Boy, should the Blazers trade CJ and get better and try to, you know, have a different approach to this, because right now it gets you only so far. And I think I was kind of waiting to see this year just how much he improved. And I'm not seeing that big leap. Like Lillard came back last year and markedly improved his defense. And I thought Damian played really top-notch defense in the fourth quarter of that Houston loss this week. If you go back and look at it, and I think that's why he had such a bad game at Memphis, is because he was so gassed from that effort in Houston. He kept them in that fourth quarter with some defensive stands against Harden and Chris Paul. But anyways, to my point, CJ's not making that. CJ can be an electric player like he was last night, like he was against Milwaukee when he scored 40. But other nights, he's a 19, 21-point guy, takes a lot of shots, doesn't pass particularly well, does not defend well, not a big rebounder. So he's a scorer. And I think if you're shelling out $24 million, you need a little bit more. So, you know, there's still a chance he can show something, but through 28 games, that's a pretty big sample size. And I think it's really reached that point where, you know, yeah, I would be in that camp that I think it's time for them to explore that. But I don't know that Neil is on that page.
Talking to Jason Quick on the Catlin Capital Hotline every Thursday at 5:30. Quick joins primetime Jason, I'm looking at the standings for the Western Conference. You've got the Rockets at 12-14, and you've got the Nuggets at 18-9. I mean, that's a lot of teams that are good. I don't know how many great teams there are on the West. You assume the Warriors will get out of their funk and just, you know, light the world on fire, especially if they get Boogie. But with all the teams in playoff contention now, is that something that is going to make it more difficult to make a move and find a trade partner, or will that make it easier where you think that everybody's going to be trying to get out of the middle?
I don't know. I don't know that that'll have an effect on it. I think it's hard to make trades, period. But I don't know. I'm really not good at talking on trades because I'm not keyed into that. I mean, Neil is just not that type of guy where he gives you insight into what's going around in the league, how people value his players. So I don't know. I don't know how it'll affect. I mean, he's pulled off a trade in the division with Denver multiple times. So I don't think it's out of the realm.
Yeah, we always talk about, it's a slippery subject because, right, we don't know, we're not on the inside, and he's very tight-lipped. But at the same time, it's always like you look around the league and you go, well, other teams do end up pulling them off. Yeah, they're hard to do, but you mentioned that Toronto trade. Damn, that was a good move. You know, it's just like, and sometimes you just got to have the balls to do it. I just think the ultimate problem is he overvalues his guys. But let's get to your story on Jody Allen. Now, you mentioned here on The Fan last week that you were going to try to hunt down kind of how it's working now that Paul Allen has passed, and what did you find out about how it's working behind the scenes?
Well, first I found that nobody really wants to talk about it. but eventually I got some answers, and I think that the two biggest things that I found out was that, one, Jody Allen, his sister, is in control, and that she has no intentions of selling right now. And I don't know how long that will extend. I get the sense that she right now is in a state of mind that she really wants to honor Paul's passions. And obviously the Blazers are one of his passions. And so she wants to keep this going and keep it in the family and kind of see his vision out. She is allowing Neil and Chris to do their jobs. In other words, she's not kind of stepping in and saying, I think we should be doing this, I think we should be doing that. She's given them a lot of autonomy. There was a minor deal that was presented to the Blazers, enough so that Neil went to her, said, hey, we got this in front of us. And she said, go for it, pursue it. It never did materialize. It was a minor trade, as it was explained to me. So it doesn't look like he's handcuffed in any way as far as making a trade.
So does she follow basketball? Like, I mean, from what the conventional wisdom was always that she didn't like the Blazers and didn't care that Paul owned them.
Yeah, I don't think she's as passionate and as up to speed as Paul was in basketball matters, but I've been told that she does not have a distaste for basketball and does not have, you know, does not kind of thumb her nose down at the Blazers, because that's always how it was presented to me. But, you know, recently they said, no, that's not the case. And again, that she really, really wants to see Paul's passions and his vision kind of play out. So as of right now, she's really behind this venture.
And Bert Cold, I know a lot of people just assume that Bert Cold would be the guy because he was so close to Paul.
Yeah.
How do you characterize his involvement now?
I think it's much the same as before, maybe probably even a little bit more powerful. He was at the Phoenix game last week. I tried to talk to him. He declined an interview. But he is always, you know, he's kind of head of the board of directors for the Blazers. He's very, any move that goes down, he's keyed in on it. He's filled in on it. So I still think that he'll kind of have his thumbprint on things, but I don't get the sense that Bert feels like he's any more important than he is from a basketball standpoint. I don't think he's going to be weighing in and saying, no, I think we should go this direction, or I think we should do that. I think he, again, leaves that to McGowan and Olshay to make those decisions that are in their field.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate your insight. Tomorrow, the Blazers have the Raptors, and then they have the Clippers Monday and the Grizzlies on Wednesday. So before we talk to you next week, they'll probably go on a 3-game win streak, and we'll all change our attitude about this team.
Wouldn't that be so Blazers, right? When everyone just thinks they're out, they'll turn it around and get a big win.
Yeah.
It's happened so many times before, and that's it's a level of intrigue about this team.
Well, let's try to make it happen. We'll have you in studio next week. We'll rattle some ice, as they say, and we'll get everybody ready for the holidays if you can make it happen.
Well, Isaac can tell you some stories of Buzz Quick on this show, so we might have to reenact that.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good to see you. All right, see you, man.
Okay, see you.